Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and good morning. I want to welcome you here to worship this morning. We're glad you're here with us this beautiful summer day. But it is a wonderful day, and it's not just wonderful because the sun is shining. It's wonderful because I get to be gathered together with all of you. It's wonderful because we get to have the opportunity to come together to sing God's praises, to listen to the scriptures, and to grow together in love and in faith. And I think that's such a wonderful treat that we get to share together, and it is a joy to share it with you this day. Friends, let us take the time to focus our hearts and minds on a God who loves us. Let us worship our Lord by joining and singing together our first hymn, number 120, God, we praise you. God, we bless you. Now, before I invite our scripture reader to come forward, I want to do just a little bit of context as to why this scripture reading is all over the place this morning. I warned you last week that the book of Acts is full of lots of very long speeches, and this is the longest speech in the book of Acts. So what I have done is I have tried to focus on the important parts. Right before this story, Stephen and six others are chosen and blessed to lead the church, to spread the gospel. And in the first portion of our scripture reading, we will hear about Stephen and those who stand against him, and they will invite him to speak. And then I will cut out 50 verses. That's 50, not 15. Because that would triple my sermon length and add another 10 minutes of scripture reading alone. That long portion boils down to theological discourse about Abraham, Joseph, and Moses, and about how they were refuted by their own people, but wound up being the ones to save them. Then Stephen gives the most critical part of his speech, which is where we will resume, and we will hear their response. Friends, let us listen now to the word of God as it might speak to us in this time and place. I invite our scripture reader to come forward now.
Our reading begins with Acts chapter 7 and reading Acts chapter 6, starting at verse 8. Stephen, a man richly blessed by God and full of power, performed great miracles and wonders among the people. But he was opposed by some men who were members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, which included Jews from Cyrene and Alexandria. They and other Jews from the provinces of Cilicia and Asia started arguing with Stephen, but the Spirit gave Stephen such wisdom that when he spoke, they could not refute him. So they bribed some men to say, "We heard him speaking against Moses and against God." In this way, they stirred up the people, the elders, and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and took him before the council. Then they brought in some men to tell lies about him. "This man," they said, "is always talking against our sacred temple and the law of Moses. We heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will tear down the temple and change all the customs which have come down to us from Moses." All those sitting in the council fixed their eyes on Stephen and saw that his face looked like the face of an angel. The high priest asked Stephen, "Is this true?" And then, continuing from verse 51 of the same chapter, "How stubborn you are," Stephen went on to say. "How heathen your hearts, how deaf you are to God's message. You are just like your ancestors. You too have always resisted the Holy Spirit. Was there any prophet that your ancestor did not persecute? They killed God messengers who long ago announced the coming of his righteous servant. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You are the ones who received God's law that was handed down by angels, yet you have not obeyed it." As the members of the council listened to Stephen, they became furious and ground their teeth at him in anger. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw God's glory and Jesus standing at the right-hand side of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right side of God." With a loud cry, the members of the council covered their ears with their hands. Then they all rushed at him at once, threw him out of the city, and stoned him. The witnesses left their cloaks in the care of a young man named Saul. They kept on stoning Stephen as he called out to the Lord, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not remember this sin against them." He said this and died. And Paul approved of his murder. That very day, the church in Jerusalem began to suffer cruel persecution. All the believers, except the apostles, were scattered throughout the provinces of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men buried Stephen, mourning with him with loud cries. But Saul tried to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged out the believers, both men and women, and threw them into jail. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word. Our service now continues with hymn 580, "Abide with Me."
Thank you.
It felt only right to sing Abide With Me in response to the reading of the first Christian martyr. Friends, as we prepare to reflect on our scripture reading, let us offer up a brief word of prayer. Heavenly God, pour out your Spirit upon us this morning, that as we reflect on your scripture reading, it would be your words that are spoken and heard this morning, that it would be your message for us this day that rings true not just in our ears but in our hearts. Help us to be guided by your Spirit this day and evermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today's scripture reading is a little bit disjointed in the beginning and the end of Stephen's story, but I think those are the ones that hold the most critical details. The middle, though interesting and filled with lots of fun theological discourse, I think distracts from our purpose here today and would no doubt triple the amount of things I have to say. It was a lot of fun to discuss in our Bible study on Tuesday, but in the end, it is the beginning and the end that are most crucial. Stephen here is described to us as a man full of God's grace and power, someone who performs great wonders and signs, but most importantly, is given the wisdom of the Spirit, and because of that, no one could stand against him when he spoke. We are told that men from multiple synagogues, or at least multiple factions, the Greek is not exactly clear, are standing against Stephen. And because they cannot win their argument, they result to false testimony, bringing forth people to levy false but serious accusations against him. As they bring Stephen in before the Sanhedrin, we are told that they see his face is like that of an angel, which I find to be an important detail, because angels are the messengers of God. The word angelos doesn't literally translate into angel, it actually translates into messenger. But what are angels if not messengers of God? Luke is showing that once again, these people are ignoring God's messenger and are persecuting a prophet who has important information for them. Stephen goes on a long discussion, as I stated, talking about Abraham, Joseph, and Moses, specifically how they were rejected by their own people and were the ones who resulted in saving God's people despite that rejection, just like Jesus did. And then he speaks a powerful truth to them, a truth they are not ready to hear. More literally, he says to them, "You stiff-necked people, you are like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet you did not persecute? Your hearts and your ears are still uncircumcised." Our scripture translated that today as, "Your heathen hearts and your deaf ears." To be clear, I think that's a fair translation, because at this point in the tradition, one of the primary ways to signify you were a part of the family of God was circumcision. And so by saying their hearts and ears are uncircumcised, it is a strong statement that their ears and hearts are separated from God, that their hearts are heathen and their ears are deaf. For some reason, Stephen's words enrage the Sanhedrin, and they begin to shout and scream and cover their ears. Their response is a terrifying and aggressive version of the childish display, "La la 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 la, I'm not listening, I can't hear you." Because they don't want to listen, they can't bear to listen. So they shout, they cover their ears, and once more they ignore the word of God. They drag Stephen out of the city and stone him to death in front of a young man named Saul, as witness. This is important because this is the first time we are going to meet Saul. Saul is a man who we will learn more about in the coming weeks ahead, but we meet him at a terrible time in his life, where he is serving as arbiter of justice over this murder, holding the coats of those who are killing Stephen and approving of it as a righteous action. He then spearheads a persecution of the believers, scattering all except for the apostles out of Jerusalem, sending the gospel into regions of Judea and Samaria to share this message with those who have not heard it yet. When I think of persecution, and I hear of it in the Bible, and I hear of it in our history, I often wonder about our modern world. Persecution of Christianity is no more in many places across the globe, but there remain countries where people are still imprisoned for their faith or killed for their faith, nations where it is illegal to make new disciples. I think it is safe to say that at least here in Scotland, the persecution of Christians that threatens their lives is no more. We face different kinds of threats. I would say that the biggest threat to our gospel is not the lives and safety of its believers, but instead, I believe it is the same issue that Stephen faced. The biggest issue that I believe is facing us today is people covering their ears and ignoring our words. We are no longer a people faced with persecution of death. We are faced with people who simply will not acknowledge us or acknowledge our words. When the early believers were faced with death and imprisonment, they left the city and went to the countryside and preached in villages and towns elsewhere. But we cannot go and preach elsewhere because this is a problem that plagues our whole nation. There are too many distracting factors in our lives that are proverbially pulling us out of our homes, some of which are literally pulling us out of our communities and away into isolation. Too many things in this world demand our attention and our allegiance and are serving as earmuffs to cover the ears of those who would hear the voice of Jesus Christ. Our task is a difficult one, and some days it is easy to give in to despair and say, "What's the point? We might as well give up." But I want to give you encouragement from our scripture reading today. Stephen is a prime example of how one should live their life. He went before the council for a sham trial with false witnesses, but he did not give up. He used his voice, I believe, to give one more chance to the people in power to turn away from their selfish living and to listen to the word of God. When he was ignored and condemned, he saw Jesus himself waiting for him. And I think in that moment he knew he was going to die. So what did Stephen do? Did he give up? Did he cower and beg? No. He professed the risen Son, Jesus Christ, coming in glory, visible to his eyes, and prayed for Jesus to receive his spirit. And when he was being stoned to death, he called out to God, saying, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Even to his dying breath, he remained faithful, full of the Holy Spirit, praying to Jesus, praying on behalf of even his enemies. Friends, I do not believe that our lives are nearly as dire as that of Stephen. Our persecution is different from those of old. They had a clear-cut enemy in human beings who wanted to harm them and halt their message. Our enemies are a little more intangible. Our enemy is apathy. The apathetic spirit that tells us we might as well give up. Our enemy is indifference. Indifference to the suffering of others. Indifference to the voice of Jesus. Our enemy is the hands that cover the ears of those who would hear us and let their lives be transformed by the grace and mercy of a God who loves us. We face completely different challenges to those of the apostles of old. But my friends, I am here to tell you the solution is darn near the same. We must remain steadfast and faithful. We must entrust our spirits to Jesus Christ. And we must pray for others, even people that we don't like. And most importantly, we must continue to ignore the voices of worldly powers that tell us all is for naught. That we should just give up. But friends, that is not the answer. We must hear the words of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, and be like him. We must be unafraid to speak truth, even when it is dangerous, even when our listeners are plugging their ears, literally or figuratively. We must be like Stephen, trusting in the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, trusting in our God who saves us, trusting in the Lord who has given us an opportunity to follow the Holy Spirit, to let it lead us and guide us, to accept God's grace and mercy that it would lead us beyond the doors of death, into the welcoming arms of our Savior once more. Friends, this is the good news of our scripture reading today. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly God, we are afraid to trust in you. We struggle to push past the feelings of apathy that call us to give up. We struggle to push aside the distractions of this world that pull us away from your side. Heavenly God, we ask that you would grant us strength, conviction of Holy Spirit, that we would stick to your side the way that Stephen did, trusting in the words of Jesus Christ our Lord, trusting that you will be there for all our days. Lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit, guiding our words and deeds, that we would continue to serve you for all our days. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Friends, as we bring our worship to a close, I invite you to join in singing our final hymn, which is on the back of your piece of paper, Jesus Bids Us Shine.
Jesus.
think that's one of my favorite songs I learned after moving to Scotland. I'm still not sure what "you and your small corner and I" means, but I'll sing it with gusto. Friends, whether or not you depart after our final amens or a time of fellowship spent together, take with you this charge and benediction when you go. Friends, we have heard the story of Stephen and of his great dedication. Let it serve as an example to us to push past the spirit of apathy and indifference of this world, to be brave enough to share the voice of Jesus Christ with those around us, even the ones who are trying their level best to ignore us. Grant us courage to be faithful. Grant us assurance of your presence that we would be with you for all our days. And so may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide amongst all of us always.